Welcome into worship with St. Luke's Woodland. I'm Interim Rector Karen Sheldon, and today is a special day for St. Luke's because it's our virtual visitation with our Bishop, Megan Traquair. She'll be proclaiming the gospel and preaching the sermon, and as usual, many congregation members will share in the leadership of our variation on morning prayer with Eucharistic readings. If you would like to access a leaflet so you can participate in the service, you'll find that online at stlukeswoodland.org. If you would like to find information about upcoming events at St. Luke's and an opportunity for online giving, you can also access that at stlukeswoodland.org. We are so glad you're with us today.
Send out your light and your truth, that they may lead me and bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Psalm 43, verse 3.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on us, forgive us all our sins, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen.
O God, you declare your almighty power chiefly in showing mercy and pity. Grant us the fullness of your grace, that we, running to obtain your promises, may become partakers of your heavenly treasure, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Almighty God, look graciously on the people of St. Luke's Church. Be with us in this season of transition. Walk with us and guide us, that we may be genuine in our self-reflection, tireless in our commitment, patient in our discernment, loving in our communion, open in our search, and daring in our faith. We thank you for the gifts, talents, and skills with which you have blessed us. We thank you for the experiences that have brought us to this moment. Help us accept change as a gift of your direction for our journey in this transition. Instill in us a vision for our parish, that guided by your Holy Spirit, we will be united in love and joyfully accomplish this mission. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
A reading from Exodus. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses, saying, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and the water will come out of it, so that the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massa and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" The word of the Lord.
Psalm 78. Hear my teaching, O my people. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will declare the mysteries of ancient times. That which we have heard and known, and what our forefathers have told us, we will not hide from their children. We will recount to generations to come the praiseworthy deeds and the power of the Lord, and the wonderful works he has done. He worked marvels in the sight of their forefathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He split open the sea and let them pass through. He made the waters stand up like walls. He led them with a cloud by day, and all the night through with the glow of fire. He split the hard rocks in the wilderness, and gave them drink as from the great deep. He brought streams out of the cliff, and the waters gushed out like rivers. Amen.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from Paul's letter to the Philippians. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you not look to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Jesus Christ, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. A reading from the Gospel of Matthew. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argued with one another. If we say, "From heaven," he will say to us, "Why then did you not believe him?" But if we say, "Of human origin," we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet. So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go work in the vineyard today.' He answered, 'I will not.' But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same. And he answered, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him." Here ends the reading. Greetings, grace and peace to you in our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so glad to be with you. I know that I am joining you this morning through this audio recording, and that shortly after our worship together, we will have our Zoom coffee hour, still digital, and yet we will be able to see each other. You know, fall can be such a busy time for us. Committees swing back into action, whether they are meeting online or in some other manner. They move into high gear. Parents are doubling down as school begins, with the balancing of work and their children doing usually online work, often using the same computers. It is an incredibly busy time. But for all that, we know that there is a gap between hearing God and moving into any action. And Jesus notices that gap and brings it forward in his parable about the sons, particularly about the first son. But let's talk about the setting of this parable, of Jesus' teaching, because it is so important. You should know that by the time Jesus has this confrontation with the leaders in the temple grounds that we hear today, already he has entered the city of Jerusalem, in the triumphal entry, what we usually celebrate with Palm Sunday, coming in a very symbolic manner on a donkey, just as the prophet Zechariah said that the King of Peace would do, entering into the city of Jerusalem. He has already cleansed the temple, throwing out all of the traders and the money changers. And now on this day, in front of all of the crowds that fill that temple courtyard, like a huge town square for Jerusalem, he is speaking to the Pharisees about his authority to act. And he tells a parable. And we should remember that a vineyard for those people was not maybe how we think of a vineyard. We think of something that is charming, lovely, produces wine, and maybe is a place where, when there's not a pandemic, we can visit and go give a wine tasting. But for all the Pharisees and for all those at that temple courtyard, they knew that this was code language, symbolic language for the people of Israel. The people of Israel were God's vineyard, planted and cared for him. And the leaders, the sons who were supposed to be working in that vineyard, in fact, were the high priests and the Pharisees. So Jesus is telling a rather pointed parable. But what we hear is what the two sons said to the father. And we should remember that neither one of them was very respectful, particularly not for that culture, that time and the place. The first one gave a very blunt and disrespectful no to his father when asked to go to the vineyard, though he later changed his mind. And the second one, while he said yes, in the end did not follow through, and that was also considered disrespectful. But that first son, his story shows that gap, the one we know ourselves all too easily, that gap between hearing and acting. How often is this our story? Now, we may not say no so bluntly to God. I think usually we send God a busy signal. You know what that was. If you're calling on a landline, it's that series of beeps. And if you're calling someone on a cell phone from another cell phone, you often get back that text message. Sorry, I can't talk right now. Or, can I call you later? That is a modern day busy signal. Now, there are lots of things that keep us busy. Lots of things that keep us spinning around. But the presence of God in our lives is something more than just something we learn about. But it is also engaging in action. God may be calling us to prayer. God may be calling us to put in a phone call to a friend or an acquaintance. God may be calling us into some kind of service or action. God may be calling us into advocacy. God may be calling us into generosity and giving. God may be calling us into Bible study. And God certainly calls us into worship, morning and evening and weekly, hearing the life of Jesus again and again. And doing all of these things, moving through that gap, is what makes us practicing Christians and what it makes our community a community of practice. People who are following Jesus and practicing it, what that means. Now, there are lots of things that can occupy us and keep us from responding to God. And one of them is called doom scrolling. I don't know if you have ever heard of this, but doom scrolling is what you do when you find yourself compulsively looking from news story to news story online, looking and finding things that are worse and worse and worse. This can paralyze us and not help us to find God, nor does it help us to take action. Doom scrolling sends a busy signal to God and, frankly, to the rest of our mind. Now, you know, C.S. Lewis had a good comment about this. A commentator I looked at was talking about this gap between hearing and acting, and he referred to the Screwtape Letters. Now, in the Screwtape Letters, if you know this story at all, if you haven't read it, I hope you will go read it. It's sort of a reverse example of discipleship, because, of course, Screwtape is a senior devil. and he is busy advising a junior devil to do actions that will keep his patient, right, his human, from growing in his life with God, right? They don't want that at all. And so he writes in a letter when the junior devil says that his patient has become newly repentant. He writes, "It remains to consider how we can retrieve this disaster." That would be the disaster of repentance. "The great thing is to prevent his doing anything. As long as he does not convert it to action, it does not matter how much he thinks about this new repentance. Let the little brute wallow in it. Let him, if he has any bent that way, write a book about it. It is an excellent way of sterilizing the seeds which the enemy," and that would be God, "plants in the human soil. Let him do anything but act on it. No amount of piety in the imagination and affections will harm us as long as we can keep him from acting on it." Well, those are sort of damning words. The fact is, many things keep us from acting on the good word that God plants in our heart and our soul. But I believe that, in fact, our practice of responding to God is something that makes us stronger and stronger in our practice of the Christian life. Here's an example, and it actually begins with you. "For I have seen that your practice has developed and grown stronger over time. I know that you have become very mindful of your surrounding community and the needs of your community. You have begun to engage in a fruitful and service-oriented way with their needs. This is a wonderful thing and a great accomplishment. I know it is important, and how important it is that you guys continue this engagement. That is your movement over that gap, hearing the gospel and then taking action and steps. And part of that has been your work to help protect, to stabilize, and support the preschool that you have. It is such a historic relationship. I know that you have members that have used it yourselves, and that it is very important to the community. In this way, you guys have really been the best of the first son, and that is, you have been good workers in God's vineyard. I recognize that, and I honor you for it." Let me tell you another example of what it looks like when that gap is closed between hearing God and acting. And I will give as the example the sacred ground circles that are springing up all over our diocese. I know, very familiar to you. And that really is the action of the church. We might as well admit it, long delayed. From seeing the needs of racism and prejudice as it has worked its way out in its awful way in our society, to begin to become aware of what is needed and to begin to engage in the first steps of becoming part of the healing solution. Many people have engaged in these sacred ground circles, and more are starting up. You'll hear more about them at convention. But the very good news for us is that we are not having to do this on our own, because that just seems like another load of work. No, I believe that, like that first son, even if we first say no by a busy signal, something happens to change our mind. And it's not just our mind, it's our heart as well. And I believe it is because God is present with us in that gap. In all of our messiness, in all of our dull-wittedness, in all the times when I put off that good thing that I should do, God is there, ever patient, never giving up, always ready to help move us closer in relationship to Him and to help us become workers in His vineyard as well. Think about a toddler desperate to get up on the sofa. The sofa is far too big, and the parent watches, and the toddler begins to scrabble their way up. At some point, they are poised precariously on the edge, feet above the floor, hands grabbing at the cushion, and unable to make the corner. And at that moment, the parent usually shows up, or the grandparent, or the niece, the nephew, the older brother or sister, and gives them that quiet boost. And they're up and over and at the place they were hoping to arrive at. I believe that God does action just like that in our lives, that when we are precariously caught in the gap, hearing what God is indicating, not sure how or if we can even move into action or even to start to pray about it, that it is God's Holy Spirit that is present with us, that empowers us from within, gives us that boost in our mind, in our courage, in our heart, to begin to be responsive servants of God. This is the good news of this parable, that all of us can be the first son. And we might even begin to say yes at the beginning and move into action. I believe that this hope of ours that we trust in, that we celebrate today, was expressed beautifully by Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And I'm reading from the Phillips translation. So in conclusion, he writes, "I pray that out of the glorious riches of God's resources, he will enable you to know the strength of the Spirit's inner reinforcement, that Christ may actually live in your hearts by your faith. And I pray that you, firmly fixed in love yourselves, may be able to grasp, with all Christians, how wide and deep and long and high is the love of Christ, and to know for yourselves that love so far beyond our comprehension. May you be filled through all your being with God himself. And now to him who by his power within us is able to do far more than we ever dare to ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church through Jesus Christ forever and ever. Amen."
Let us say together the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit. He became incarnate from the Virgin Mary. He was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
With all our heart and mind, let us pray to God, saying, hear our prayer. Let us pray for God's people across the world. God of love,
hear our prayer.
Let us pray for the earth that we may her treat her gently. God of love,
hear our prayer.
Let us pray for our families, our friends, and our neighbors. God of love,
hear our prayer.
Let us pray for those who are scared, sad, or scared, or are suffering. God of love,
hear our prayer.
Let us pray for those who have died. God of love,
hear our prayer. We pray especially for Bob and for Jim, and we pray for the repose of their souls. We pray for Marilyn and Katie and their families, this time of sadness. We pray for Jim and Cass and for John. Who is on your heart this morning? O God, accept the fervent prayers of your people, and the multitude of your mercies look with compassion upon us and all who turn to you for help, for you are gracious, O lover of souls. And to you we give glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Prayer for Mission. Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of your faithful people is governed and sanctified, receive our supplications and prayers which we offer before you for all members of your holy church, that in their vocation and ministry they may truly and devoutly serve you, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Glory to God, whose power is working in us, can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to him from generation to generation in the church, and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen.